You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. Peter Ackroyd is known as one of the greatest chroniclers of London, and in his latest book he's turned his attention to the city's gay history. From Roman times through cycles of permissiveness and censure, Queer City brings us to the present day and what he says is a new norm. He's been speaking to our reporter, Nicola Stanbridge.
As the Thames laps at low tide, Peter Ackroyd conjures up an important disembarkation point for Roman Londinium, one of the starting points for his book, Queer City.
We're now in front of the Tower of London, but in fact it was better known in the first century as Romeland, and that's where the slave ships, if such they were moored, and the slaves promptly auctioned and taxed by the Roman authorities. The citizens of Rome could only have sexual contact with slaves and with boys. They were not allowed to interfere with citizens. It was a master-slave relationship. And it sort of goes to show that even from the earliest times, social conventions determined sexual practice. There were very few studies of homosexuality through the centuries in London. It was a great privilege, I suppose, for me to be able to explore the world in which I partly grew up. So it was both an act of fealty and an act of historical research.
Do you think the history of London shows a linear progress or periods of backlash when it comes to tolerating or accepting gay London?
It's a peculiar thing. There's been the backlashes over the period. There was a backlash in the 13th century, there was a backlash 16th century, big backlash in the 18th century when at the beginning of that homosexuals were put in the stocks and in prison and died there. But then by the time you get to the 1880s, two very prominent homosexuals, Fanny and Stella as they were known, were fated by the London crowd. It could change within 20, 30 years from outright hatred to real celebration.
Masculine women, family friends, which is the ruler, which is the head. It's hard to tell them apart today, I'll say.
Well, we've come all the way from Tower of London, which was one of the places where gays were persecuted, to the middle of London, to Old Compton Street, which you might say is the most singular place in London where gay life is celebrated.
How has Soho changed over the years?
By becoming, I suppose, more bland, it's more open. There's no longer the hint of danger or conspiracy.
Let's listen to one of the icons of gay London, Quentin Crisp, the writer, talking about his book The Naked Civil Servant in 1977 from the BBC archives.
To get through the day without any kind of unpleasant incident, to arrive home and think I haven't been questioned, followed, pushed around or actually beaten up, was a kind of triumph.
Even when the Wolfenden Committee report was published, it led to an increase in gay hate crimes. So there was no easy passage to full freedom.
Sir John Wolfenden described the criticism received when his government committee recommended homosexuality was decriminalised in 1957.
I have from one religious sect an official curse. It was called, for instance, proposals to legalise degradation in our midst, or even by one well-known writer, the Pansy's Charter.
Do you see a new identity politics for the younger generation?
Oh yes, I'm sure the younger generation will make queerness as acceptable as anything else. Sex has become a much more fluid and amorphous force than it ever was before, so that people are losing their interest in the fixed categorizations of homosexual and heterosexual.
So as we get greater freedoms, we don't necessarily take it for granted that everything stays the same with how we view homosexuality.
No, it will be changing its status all the time. In fact, it could become the new norm. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
You can listen to more free content from the Today programme by going to www.bbc.co.uk/today.